So we come to celebrate this morning. It's Easter. In this service, there will be the opportunity to encounter God, to take communion in families on your own, and to receive a blessing. So come and celebrate with us the greatest day in history, when Jesus rose from the dead. He demonstrated that there is something beyond the grave, and the desire we have to live beyond our years is not a human fantasy, but an implanted hope from God. Well, we claim that Jesus has risen, but how do we know that that's true? How do we know it today? And to illustrate this, I brought myself an Easter egg. How do I know that this Easter egg is delicious? Well, the obvious thing to do is to read the ingredients. Here we are. Milk. I like milk, so that's fine. Sugar. Oh, yes. Now we're talking. Milk and sugar together. They're going to be really good. Cocoa butter. Well, that's pretty good for most of you. I'm allergic to cocoa myself, but never mind. It still sounds as if it's really tasty, doesn't it? It's got cocoa mass. It's got vegetable fats. Doesn't that sound delicious? It's got palm fats and shea fats. And then it's got emulsifiers. Doesn't this sound delicious? Don't you think? Are you ready to eat it now? Okay. E442. Okay. Just an E number. Okay. And flavorings. Doesn't that sound great? Oh, it says may contain nuts. Sounds good, doesn't it? I am convinced this is a delicious Easter egg, just because I've read the ingredients. Is that how we do it?
No, we know it's delicious because it's a Cadbury's Easter egg.
You know it's delicious because it's a Cadbury's Easter egg. Okay, that's why it's delicious. Okay. Pardon? It's a whisper, says my wife. So it's bound to be a good Easter egg, a delicious Easter egg. How else can we tell?
It's chocolate.
It's chocolate. Yes, we got that. It says that on the thing here. It says chocolate Easter egg. Okay. Anything else? With two bars. Pardon? But I don't want to spoil the packaging. Yeah, you see, we know this is a delicious Easter egg because, not because we read the ingredients, although the ingredients are important, it's because we've had one before. We've tasted it. And the first time you tasted it, you had it all round your mouth. You know, when you were little and you stuffed it in and you couldn't get enough. And then later on in the day, you're going, "Ooh, it was lovely. Oh, got any more?" And that's what we did with Easter eggs. When we look at the truth of Christianity, there is two lots of witnesses. When we say Jesus is alive, the evidence that we find in the Bible is one thing. That's all the ingredients. And the story that we tell from the Bible is one thing, but it's the experience of his presence which tells us it's true. It tells me Jesus is alive, that he's done something for me, because I've tasted what Jesus has done for me. That is living Christianity. Because of what he has done for me, I follow him. Are you going to be someone who just reads ingredients? Or are you going to be someone who tastes and sees that God is good? So what is the truth in the story? Okay? Could we tell the story of what happened on that Easter Sunday or on the Good Friday? We know, for instance, that Jesus died on a cross, don't we? Don't we? What happened next?
He rose again. He did, yes. But what happened immediately afterwards? He was buried, yes. What did they do when he was buried? He was put in a tomb and stone was rolled in front. And what else was put in front of this tomb? Some Roman guards. Why? So no one tried to steal his body. But do we do that on a grave normally? So why did they do it back then? Why did they put some Roman guards on the tomb? Ah, you see, now stuck. Why did they do that then? As if it happened every week. Yes, go on, work it out for me.
Because they used to put, like, gold in there as a present.
Well, they could have, but they didn't, no. Go on.
He was a special body, and some of his disciples might have wanted to steal
him. Right. He said he was going to rise from the dead. He did. So the authorities put some guards on the say and said the disciples ain't going to steal the body and pretend that he rose from the dead. So they guarded the body so that it wouldn't be stolen, all right? So that they wouldn't have a myth about someone rising from the dead. That's why they did it. It was amazing that they would put these guards on there. So let's see how much of the story you know to be true and how much is made up, okay? I've got a video for you. Watch the video. I want you to tell me which bits is right and which bits are wrong.
After Jesus died, they put Jesus in a tomb and wrapped him with some white paper. They put a big stone around it and placed guards in front of the tomb to let nobody go in. He was just waiting for the 3 days.
He's probably drinking soda while eating hot Cheetos.
He would probably play games like Candyland and then have a party by himself.
The Easter Bunny was hiding behind a tree.
He probably went out there and just throw eggs everywhere. And then he's going to say, there's one money egg, so you better find it. You need to get some money.
3 days later, there was a big earthquake.
I think we should go away somewhere safe.
It's like I'm getting out of here.
The earth is shaking. Run for your lives.
And the guard ran off because they got scared.
And then on Sunday, Mary and some of her friends came with some spices. But when they got there, the tomb was empty.
His clothes only was there.
Then an angel came and said,
don't be afraid. Jesus has risen from the dead. Go tell the good news.
Mary and her friends went and told the disciples. She said, Jesus has risen from the dead.
Guys, Jesus has risen from the dead.
And the disciples didn't believe them.
No, that couldn't happen.
Jesus can't raise from the dead.
I don't believe it until I see it.
But all of a sudden, Jesus was there.
I am Jesus. I am the Son of the Lord God. And I am Jesus, your friend.
And then the disciples said, Jesus, it's you.
Yay! Jesus is alive!
Totes cool.
Jesus, before he left to heaven, he said,
I have done what I have came to done.
And then he risen, and he was going up to heaven.
His disciples were crowded around him.
The disciples said, holy guacamole,
I can't believe Jesus really flew.
That's awesome. Now what?
Let's go tell the news.
So, which bits were true? Which bits were untrue? Point them out to us. Come on. The Easter Bunny was definitely there. Thanks a lot. Yeah. The teaching in this church has been really good, obviously, yes. But the Easter Bunny, nothing to do with it. Okay, anything else? Yes. He wasn't alive in the tomb. Very good. He wasn't alive in the tomb. He wasn't having a party either or playing games. The disciples didn't really, but we have no record of them saying holy guacamole, okay? Okay, well, that's true, it's made in Mexico. Anything else? There wasn't an earthquake, thank you very much. Yeah, some of you are going, oh. Go on, what else? The guards didn't run away, yes, thank you. Yes. They did miss out the two disciples running to the tomb afterwards. When the women went back, they reported it to him. Two disciples, we know it was Peter and John, ran to the tomb and they examined the evidence. And he wasn't there. Amazing, isn't it? We know so much of this story, and yet it's sometimes embellished with other things and we get it mixed up. Which is why we go back to the ingredients, which is the four Gospels. That tells us mostly about it, but not all. There are some other things in there that it is that have been added to it to embellish the story. The Easter Bunny doesn't fit in. What about the Easter eggs? Did any of you get that one? Because the Easter Bunny was throwing Easter eggs all over the place. Did you notice that? Okay, right. When it comes to the resurrection, is it real news or is it fake news? That's what we're asking. Is it real news or is it fake news? Whenever we examine things to find out the truth, we look for evidence and we look for experience. Evidence alone doesn't convince us. Every crime program on the TV works that way. They look for evidence and someone says, I was here, and someone else says, I was there, and someone says, it wasn't me. And they use their experience to determine, is this a truth or is this lies? Is this false? Evidence and experience. What we do is we work out, does this ring true? And then we decide whether we believe it or not. Does it ring true? And here I am today saying it rings true because I've seen the evidence. That's one thing. But I've tasted the chocolate. I've tasted it. Jesus is alive. I know it because I've met him. There is more evidence about the last hours of Jesus' life than for anyone else in ancient history. We know from sources inside and outside the Bible that he died by crucifixion and was put in a guarded tomb. The tomb was guarded by the enemies of Jesus because he claimed that he would rise from the dead. And they were making sure that the disciples couldn't steal the body and create fake news. All four of the Gospels report what happened to Jesus. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20 and 21. Let's read a bit for us of one of them. Written less than 40 years after the event, even Josephus, a Jewish historian around AD 90, says Jesus rose from the dead. This is from Luke's Gospel.
Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because the words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
So you might think the Gospels has got the definitive word about the raising of Jesus from the dead. But actually, something that was written 10 years before the Gospels was a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians telling people about the resurrection appearances of Jesus. And this is what Paul wrote.
Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom who are still living to this day, although some of them have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as one abnormally born.
He says Jesus appeared not to one or two gullible, emotional people, but to Peter, to the 12, to 500 people at one time. That is not some mass hallucination. It just doesn't happen. Psychologically, you can't get 500 people to have the same hallucination. And he says, in a throwaway line in his letter to the Corinthians, he says, most of them are alive. In other words, you can go and talk to them. You can ask them, is he alive? Because they've tasted the chocolate. Do you see what I'm saying? They know it's good. He doesn't mention the women, because back then, the evidence of women in courts of law was not always admissible. I know it was unfair, but that was back then in their culture. The New Testament does not teach, follow this teacher and do your best. It doesn't. The New Testament says when you experience the risen Jesus, it changes everything. Do you get that? When you experience the risen Jesus, it changes everything. It never says in the Bible, follow the teachings of Jesus and do your best. It actually says, come to the foot of the cross, confess you're unworthy, and let him raise you up. Meet, encounter the risen Jesus. When you ask Jesus into your life and he comes in, you know he rose from the dead. You know it. And you also now know why he had to die. You know it in here. Yes, you can have the Bible tell you why, but in here you know. I'm not worthy, but he makes me worthy. And I am glad. Jesus died on the cross and rose again in the resurrection to give you and me hope and courage. Hope for eternal life and forgiveness. Courage to approach God to find acceptance. That's what he does. And Jesus did all this for us because he loves us. That's the only truth we've got. We can't change it and say, well, you know, he doesn't love you as much as he loves me. The truth is, God loves you and God loves me. And he showed that by sending his son to die on a cross. And we sing and shout because he was raised from the dead, telling the world that he was good enough to take all of our wrongdoing, nail it to a cross, and still rise from the dead. It's brilliant, isn't it? So I'm going to change the tone now. We're going to come to communion. I want you to be able to come and experience the presence of God and taste his presence. So just before Jesus died, he said to his followers, eat bread and drink wine to remember me. If you've met Jesus, or you want to meet Jesus, then come forward and eat and drink. Come in families if you wish, or on your own. Come as you are, not as you should be, or you think you should be. If you're not sure, or you're not ready, or your children aren't ready, then come and be blessed by us anyway. Been a busy week this week in the news and everywhere else, and we don't just come here and acknowledge the presence of God. We know that God is everywhere in the world working out his plans and his purposes. So let's pray for our world. The blessing that I have got for you is in the form of some real Easter eggs. How do you know if it's going to taste good? I want you to know that you can read the ingredients and say it's good, or you can taste and see. And when you taste and see, joy fills your soul. May you be blessed this Easter with the presence of God, the living God, in Christ Jesus. Amen.